goodness. We appreciate you for being in church with us this morning. We are so thankful for the Lord. We are going to continue from where we left off. I want to encourage everyone to continue to study in the things of God and the Scripture, and allow the glory of God and His Word to become real to you. We serve a great God. He's concerned about us. And we've been looking at power over darkness. How many of you know God wants you to have power over darkness? One of the things we've been looking at starting last week, we're looking at one of the feast days that will be coming up concerning the Moedim, or the appointed times of the Lord. And this one that we're looking at is Yom Teruah. And want to continue in that. If you was here last Sunday, if you weren't, you can get the tape on that. It'll kind of catch you up. I would like to spend a lot of time going back and reviewing some of these things, but it doesn't allow us to do that. And so that's something that I think that we'll just have to get the tape and go back over those scriptures. As you continue to learn this stuff, it'll be important. I'm going to just tell you this. Every person that's here, you're going to have to come to understand these critical timing things that happen in the Scripture. If you don't understand those things, then you may not be watching or prepared when the Lord returns. And if you're not prepared when He returns, then there's going to be some serious trouble that you'll have to face. And that God, does God want us to face that? Well, absolutely doesn't. He doesn't want us to face those things. He wants us to be aware of what's going on. He wants us to understand those things and grab hold to those principles. That's why He puts them in the Word of God. But you can't know those things or understand those things if you don't apply yourself and avail yourself to the Word. You got to let the Word speak to you and minister to you. I'm going to tell you what's happening in the world today. Folks think that if we associate ourselves with something that's religion, or become religious, then somehow or another it appeals to God, for God to have mercy on us. Well, it's more than that. It's more than becoming religious or associating ourselves with a religious group, a church. No, those things, it's more than that, because it's about relationship. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be able to call you His own. He wants to be able to do things for us and minister to our lives. But in order for that relationship to happen, we have to first be willing to give ourselves over to the Lord. And the way we do that, we recognize who we are. We recognize that if it wouldn't be for the hand of God in our lives, how could we say we even can live? How can the clay say to the potter, I have no need of thee? Remember that God's the one that made the clay. He started out with clay. And so how could we say we have no need of Him? But He lets us if we want to. You know, if you're here today and you so choose to do that, that's fine. You can. I could do it. If I choose today that I don't want to live for the Lord, I can make that decision. God gave me my own free will. I can decide to do that. But what I've done is I've decided to live for the Lord. I've decided that I don't want to live on my own. I don't want to do things my way. I want to do them His way. I made that decision, and you can make that decision here today. And that's important. So what we've been talking about is having power over darkness. If you don't have power over darkness, when darkness begins to spread abroad as it is now all around the world, it's getting darker and darker and darker. The days are getting darker. And as sin begins to spread around and darkness begins to take over, if you don't have what it takes to have power over darkness, you will succumb to the darkness. I guarantee it. You will succumb to it. You won't be able to quote your church's name or your preacher's name or anybody else in your family and say, but my mama was saved. None of that's going to help you. The only thing that's going to help you is you got to have a personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. That's the only thing that'll help us. And that's what God wants for us to have. And so He shows us that. Well, we're coming into a very important time of the year. And coming in September, so it was announced earlier, we're going to be celebrating Yom Teruah, the blowing of the trumpet, or the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that trumpet was important. It was of great value, something that we can grab hold to and understand about the things of God. I'll show you again on these feast day charts. I'll put it up for you so you can see it. It's slide number two I'll put up for them so they can look at it while I'm talking. But if you look and notice that these biblical holidays are very important. They're valuable to us. Now, I want to just explain something to you. If you'll see up here, we have the spring holidays. The Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread. How many see all that? Those things have been already fulfilled. They don't need to be fulfilled. They have been fulfilled. Passover is when Jesus died. Unleavened bread is when he was buried. The very unleavened bread from Almighty God was put in a tomb. And that's when our sins was being removed from us, taking the leaven out of the bread. Then the first fruits is when Jesus rose from the dead. That's been fulfilled already. And then 50 days later, we have Pentecost, which is the Holy Spirit. And you shall be endued with power from on high. What is that power for? Without the power from on high, you can't exercise authority over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. You don't know how. We can't do it because we don't have the power from on high. You have to have that. Can you have that without being born again? It's absolutely impossible. Impossible. The Spirit of God will not dwell in an unclean temple. He will not. So we have to be born again. So we have to make sure that we're inviting the presence of God in our lives to continue to work in us, to make us what he wants us to be. And so that's important. The next thing we have is the fall feast or holidays. You see that. We have the Feast of Trumpets, which we'll talk about today. That's Yom Teruah. Then we have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. That's Yom Kippur. And then we have the next one is the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Now, these are important feasts. Why are they important? They haven't been fulfilled yet. None of them has been fulfilled, but they will be. When the trumpets blow, and we showed you last week some of these things that I thought was significant in starting to open up or understand that. And today, we're going to be going a little bit further in that. And we was trying to get to Joshua chapter 6. And I said, well, if we get to Joshua 6, we'll be in good shape. Well, we never got there. So we're going to start there. So we almost guaranteed to get there today. Amen? So Joshua chapter 6, you get your Bibles. And we're going to show you that Yom Teruah, it means some things. There's some things that it means. And maybe I could just give you a quick review on some of those. The Feast of Trumpets. Slide 6. The Feast of Trumpets is repentance. The Feast of Yom Kippur is redemption. And the Feast of Tabernacles is rejoicing. How many know God wants us to experience all of those things? And then the next one, the idioms for the Feast of Yom Teruah, is what I'm going to be focusing on. And I'm going to try to get through Joshua 6, and then we're going to get to the times of Jacob's troubles. The times of Jacob's troubles. That's going to be important and very significant for us to see. And I want to tell you, if you don't understand about the times of Jacob's troubles, hopefully today I can show you in the Word. I'm just going to give you a lot of scripture. And again, you can take these things and spend some time looking at them and let them minister to your heart. But I think they're valuable and they're very important for us to understand about the things of God. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, and I put slides for all of those, so we're going to go through this fairly quick. I think we can get through it, but I want you to see the significance. So when the day of Yom Teruah, so Yom is day, and then Teruah is the trumpet or the shofar, the blowing. It also means the opening of the gates. There's several meanings that Yom Teruah means throughout the Scripture. But we find it all through the Scripture. It's very significant, this time to sound the alarm. And so when he sounds the alarm, what is it for? It's to get us ready. It's to prepare us. But I'm going to show you what God does when the alarm sounds. When he blows that trumpet, there's something about it that you and I, it awake. It's an awakening alarm. It's to wake us up. It's to get us to realize it's time. And let me tell you something. Here's the thing about God that so amazes me, that before he does anything, he sounds the alarm. He gives us an opportunity. To me, that's amazing. I believe that's what's happening in and around this peninsula and also in different parts of the world and in this country. The alarm's being sounded. People are starting to wake up and realize, hey, something's happening. And so we want to make sure that we're understanding that. So the children of Israel, they come. God has already delivered them out of Egypt. They made their wandering journeys. And now it's time for them to take possession of what God has promised. I mean, you know, we're getting to a place where we're going to take possession of what God's promised. The time is there. There's not a lot. No, people say, well, what's got to happen in the world before Christ comes back? Not a whole lot. The announcement can be made tomorrow. The Antichrist can reveal himself. So don't say, well, I got plenty of time. You don't have any time. If there's ever a time that the church woke up, it's now. Because we're entering into that season, the fall feast. We're entering into those, and it can, listen, there's a lot that God can reveal. Now, we're going to go through some trouble, and that's what we'll talk about today, the time of Jacob's trouble. So when that alarm sounds, that doesn't mean everybody's going to disappear off the planet. And I know that's what we want. That's what folks want to believe. Well, I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to pray about that stuff because I'm not going to be here. Well, I'm going to tell you, the scripture says something different. And we better be prepared. We better be in our relationship. Listen, if you can't have a relationship with God when everything's going good, and you say, well, I have troubles, you have no idea what trouble is. He said this trouble is going to be more than anything's ever hit the planet. But you got it good. You got up this morning and you decided to come. You didn't have to sneak to come. You drove on a public highway. We got good times right now. If you can't serve God in the good times, you might want to check your relationship because if it gets tough, you might not. And so we want to make sure that we're ready for no matter what happens. That we'll be so, because see, we can say it. All of us can say it. I can say it. You can say it. We can all be like Peter. Peter said, I'll die for you. You just show me. Show me who you want me to take out, Jesus. I'll take them out right now. I'll die for you. But when the time comes, a little girl run him off. That's right. The slave girl at the gate said, aren't you follower Jesus? Not me. He got scared of a slave girl at the gate. What if a big soldier would have jumped up and went, ah! He might have peed his pants. But he was a tough guy. He could do it. I'm ready to die for you. He was not ready. But then something happened to him. He was in the upper room. And the day of Pentecost came, and he received the Holy Ghost. Then he come out of there and said, you can kill me, crucify me, that doesn't make a difference to me. I got power over darkness. Something happened to him. And that's what you need. And without that, you're never going to survive. And we have all these examples in the scripture. And so think about Peter's life. The first message he preached after the Holy Ghost came on, and 3,000 people got saved. The first message he preached. They were running to the altar because he explained to them the gospel. And that's what we have to do. Listen, we don't have to beg nobody. Listen, God ain't going to beg me or you if you want to be in the kingdom. If you want to, you can. Everybody in this room can be in the kingdom of God if you want to. But he ain't going to beg us. He's too good to have to bend down to beg us to be in the kingdom. He just shows who he is and what he's all about, and we ought to be running to him. Because when you compare it, listen, all you got to do is weigh it against eternity. All the good times that you can have on this planet, if we took them all together and added them end to end, all the good times that we can have on this planet, on our own, and you add them end to end, it wouldn't even begin to scratch the surface on what God has in store for them that love him. And that's, to me, is powerful. So weigh it against eternity next time you're struggling whether or not you want to live for the Lord. Just weigh it against eternity. Because you're going to absolutely be facing that one day. And I'm going to show you some of that today in the reading. Let's look at this Jericho incident in Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, why were they shut up? What does it mean to be shut up? It means they locked the gates and they barred the windows. They went into the mode that we're about to be attacked. Now, was the children of Israel hiding? No, they were encamped right outside the walls. They set up all the tents, built some fires and eating and everything. And they're there. And they said, well, it don't look like they're going away. We better shut it up. Tighten it real tight, bar all the windows, lock all the gates. These folks are about to come after us. We're going to fight against them. So God's letting them know it's time. So next verse, he said, and it shall come to pass, and you shall encompass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets. Notice that. 7 priests are going to bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall do what? Blow with the trumpets. That's Yom Teruah. I want you to understand that. They're going to blow with it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. That's Yom Teruah. Notice that. Yom Teruah is the day of shouting or blowing the trumpets. Keep that in mind. Notice now God is going to give them victory or he's going to start the campaign. Sounds the alarm. It starts the campaign. And the walls of the city shall fall down flat and the people shall ascend up on every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest. And said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So what did they do before the ark followed them? What did they do? Blew on the trumpets, Yom Teruah. They blew on the trumpets. So what happens? It was an alarm. It was a signal. Remember we talked about the signal. It was a signal given, and then everybody stood, and the ark of the covenant started moving. And they were going to do that for so many days. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpet, and the reward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to do what? Shout. Then you shall shout. So now we see that he's going to give an appointed time. An appointed time. He tells them when it's going to be. He said, when I tell you, when the appointed time comes, you're going to shout. Yom Teruah. So keep that in mind. So they're going to march in silence. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and what? Blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord. The rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. So there's a difference. Now, you have to understand, think about the enemy. They're watching them. It's not, you know, they're not putting up much of a fight. They're marching around. They hear the alarm. That's kind of the wake-up alarm. They blow the trumpet, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and everybody gets up, and they go around once, and they go back to camp. They blow the trumpets again. They do that for 6 days. On the seventh day, they hear the same alarm. What's their expectation? They could probably do it another time, once. But this day, they went around seven times. So now I believe that if you're the enemy, and we're going around your house, your city, that you are now alarmed that we changed what we did for 6 days. And so keep that in mind, because something's about to be requested. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets. They sound the alarm. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout. Yom Teruah. And so here's that gathering and blending together of their voices with the trumpets, and the city shall be accursed, and it goes on to talk about the accursed things in it. But let me show you what it must have sounded like. We're going to hear the trumpets blow first, right? And then we're going to stand, and we're going to give us a shout here this morning so everybody can wake up. Yeah. Amen? You hear my crickets? What does that mean? And we ready. Get ready. Nine blasts. When the trumpets blew and they came to Yom Teruah and they give the blast in consecutive, that was when he told them, shout with everything that's in you. Now you remember, they still haven't picked their swords up and to swing them in the direction of the enemy. They bear an armor, they're wearing the swords, they have their weapons, they're in full gear. They're really intimidating looking. But God says, we're going to do it my way. How many of you know God's going to return his way? How is he going to return? He's going to return just like this. You're going to hear the trumpets blow. And when it's going to be a time for the people to shout. Now, not everybody's going to be in the shout mood when he comes back. You can decide what mood you want to be in today. But I'm going to be in a shout mood. You got to decide if you're going to join and be on his side, then you got to know what's coming. The thing is if we're in the serving God and we're living for the Lord, and we don't even know what's coming. We don't even know what to look for, what to listen for. What, we're missing something. Well, we want you to be prepared. Amen? So we're going to blow this trumpet. We're going to join in this place. And then we're going to shout. Now, I want you to shout over your situation. Anybody got something here today? Maybe you got a situation. I don't know. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe the devil's been coming at you every day and trying to bring you back to the old way. Shout over it. Maybe it's something that you've been fighting for a long time. Shout over that. Maybe you've been in bondage. It's all been walled up and you want to be free. Shout over that. Because listen, one thing about what Joshua said, we're going to shout, we're not going to give some half a shout. If you're on this side, you're going to have to shout. You're going to have to shout with everything that's in you. Now, I'm going to tell you what's the issue. We've been quiet for too long. But the days of quiet, it's over with. If you want to know where we are as the timing comes to it, we done been 6 days. That's over. What you're about to hear is the alarm, the sound, to get you ready to go 7 times around. I'm wondering if that 7 times around can be the 7 years that we're going to have to be ready to go. Maybe. But we're going to shout over whatever it is that you're going through. I don't care what it is. You might need to shout over the old man so the new man can come into the newness of life and walk out with Jesus. Maybe you got to shout over it. You know, sometimes you just got to stomp your foot on and say, I'm tired of it. Or you could just go back and do the same thing you've been doing. It's your choice. But I believe somebody in here wants to shout today. You don't tell me you ain't wanted to scream a time or two in your life. Maybe you said this, I just want to scream. I'm going to give you a chance to. You're about to be able to scream all you want. Now, here's the thing. If you ain't never heard a scream or a shout, you might get alarmed today. You might. But if you ever been to a ball game, you heard it. But ain't going to be a shout like this. We don't care if the basket's been made or the line's been crossed or the ball goes out the park. We don't care about none of that today. What we care about is whether or not you're healed, whether or not you're set free, whether or not you have the victory, and most important of all, whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we care about today. So I've heard some shouts before. I have. I've been to games, and I've done my fair shouting, and I'm sure you have too. So we know what shouting is. But today, we're not going to give that type of shout. We're going to give a Yom Teruah, the shout that God wants us to shout. What I want you to do is you need to see the thing, the obstacle, whatever it is. Go ahead and envision it in front of you. I don't care what it is. You might have lost children here today. You put that, envision that. You might have an attack from the, and maybe a report from the doctor. You might have a financial crisis. You put it in front of you. I want you to see that thing. I want you to see it. I don't care what it is. It doesn't make a difference. What you think it meant to the children of Israel when they looked and seen the walls of Jericho that was so thick they could race chariots on its walls. There were streets and houses on both sides. There were homes on both sides, the top of the wall, and raced chariots around the city on a wall. That's a thick wall. We're not talking, don't think some wooden shanty that they come up there and, you know, that the children could have knocked down. We're talking about a miracle God's about to perform. We're talking about God giving them victory. We're talking about giants in Jericho. If you was here for any of my Genesis 6 studies, as we continue to go through that, we're talking about giants. We're talking about an enemy that, in all appearance, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, they're on the wall saying, look at the silly men walking around with the women and the children. They look at them, they look silly, they look pathetic. They're not getting anywhere. You know, they go to church every Sunday. What's wrong with them people? They're not getting anywhere. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time that there's going to be folks that's going to want to hang out with the silly people. They're going to want to hear a word from the silly people. They're going to need victory from somebody who stood on faith and trusted God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God is amazing. And he is merciful. If I'd have continued reading, I'd have talked about Rahab. When the spies went in, she took the spies and hit them. And this is what he said. You tell Rahab, you hang a scarlet line out your window. Because this whole thing's going to crumble, but the window with the scarlet line in it. The window with the blood. the window that's got the representation of the blood sacrifice. Yes, it's going to be okay. You put your whole family in that room. Yeah. I need somebody to tell me today they're willing to put their family in a room. I don't, listen, they don't have to, you just tell them, I'm going to put my family in a room of protection with the scarlet line. They might not be in now, but they will be in. When the shout comes and the walls fall and the stuff starts happening, your family, if you'll do it today, will be protected in that time till they hear the gospel and come into the kingdom. Is this helping anybody? So what are we going to shout? We're going to put a scarlet line out the window. We're going to know that Jesus Christ is our protector and our redeemer. That's what we're going to do. And when they shouted, stuff began to happen. The walls fell down. And he went in and he said, these are the cursed things. You don't touch them. How many are ready to get rid of the cursed things? There's stuff been on your life for a long time. There are cursed things. You got to take to the root of it. Not just say, I want to feel good about it. You know, you can feel good about sin. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still sin. But you can say, I don't want to feel good about what I've done. I want it removed out of my life as if it never, ever happened. Anybody want that today? Well, that's what God will do. So we can't touch the accursed things. We're going to let that go. But listen, after the walls fell down and they went in to take the city, there was one part of the wall still standing. It was the one with the scarlet line. God said, that family's getting saved. Now listen, it was because of one woman who was, listen, now, she was a harlot. Today we call that a prostitute. Folks get, let me tell you, you got to be careful what you say. You go around saying prostitute in the church, folks get all bewildered. Well, that's what she was. She was a prostitute. But she trusted God. I don't care where you went, where you've been, how far you think you went. If you'll trust God and put the scarlet line, get some blood of Jesus in you, it'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what's so good about God. Yeah. So they shouted. And when they shouted, God moved on their behalf. Did they have to go kick on the wall? No. Listen, quit kicking. You don't have to kick. You got to do what God says. They didn't go beat on the wall. You got to do what God says. He said, shout! So I'm going to test you today and see what kind of shout you got. Now, this is a practice shout. This ain't going to be the shout that you're really going to shout. Because let me tell you, I know some folks in here. When every eye sees you, I just know you're going to go on and just go into your shout mode. Right? Because then you're going to know, I ain't got to be reserved no more. I ain't got to keep my reservation for my friends because he'll be here. Sometimes we want to shout, but we want to keep ourselves a little bit. We don't want folks to think we really like that. Well, today I'm going to give you a chance to shout. Now, who's got that whatever it is you're going through? Some of you just lost. All right, just put your whole lost condition in front of you. You're about to be found. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some folks are blind to reality. The devil's blinded them. They've been watching the news too long, and they don't even know that the world's crashing in around them, and they just think everything's going to be hunky-dory. Put that in front of you, because you're about to see. You're about to see. Some of you are crippled. You're crippled. You've been crippled for a long time. You had a little mistake in your life, and you've been crippled, and the devil said you're nothing but a misfit. You're crippled. Ain't nobody going to pay no mind to you. Nobody's coming to your rescue. You remember Mephibosheth? He said, who's going to come for me? Well, I'm going to tell you, God will send a limo to pick you up. Glory to God. That's a powerful truth. Let me tell you, so you've been crippled for a long time. Well, let me tell you, every one of these cases I read, Jesus had an encounter. He comes to the man, lay him on his bed. He said, roll your bed up and walk. And the man rolled his bed up and walked. He came to the man who couldn't see, and he took some spit and he took some mud and put it on his eyes and said, go wash your eyes. And when he washed his eyes, the man could see. Do you understand these things? He's been through it. He saw this stuff happen. He come to the man that it didn't seem like he had a chance. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what did he do? He touched him and his eyes opened up. There was a woman who was spent all she had. She couldn't go no more. She was bleeding for 12 years. Life gone out of her. Every day she was weaker and weaker until the point of death. And today was her last day. I'm going to die. But if I could touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. And Jesus said, somebody touch me. So I'm going to tell you, you got to get all those things in front of you, because there's case after case in the scripture. If you want it, he's got it for you. A woman caught in the very act of adultery, brought before Jesus. And Jesus stooped down and he made this statement. He was without sin. Let him cast the first stone. And those that accused her began to leave quietly. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, neither do I accuse thee. But here's the key. You ready for this? Go and sin no more. I'm going to give you a new start, but you can't keep doing what you've been doing. There's case after case. Put it in front of you. Whenever you shout, you got to shout through it. I don't care how thick that wall is, how bad it's been. You got to shout through it. You got to shout through that. So whatever it is that you're facing with, put it in front of you. In a little bit, we're going to shout. And when we shout, it'll be up to you to follow the when God says, and when he tells them to get together, he says, tell them blow the trumpets. And said, now all of a sudden, you shout, Yom Teruah. It's a shout. It's an alarm. It's a serve notice on. How many want to serve notice on the devil? How many want to tell him what team you're on today? What side you're going to play for? They got winners and they got losers. If you want to be on the winning team, you can be. Or you can stay on the losing team. Because I want to tell you, I'll show you scripture after scripture that team that's against God loses every single time. Loses. There's not a chance to win. Not a chance to win. Even in the end time, when the Antichrist reveals himself and he breaks the treaty after 3.5 years, it's peace, everything looks like it's going good, and many people is going to fall for it. Many people is going to follow him, and he's going to break the treaty with Jerusalem, and he's going to raise up and be as brutal as you've ever seen anything brutal. Well, I want to tell you, when folks shout unto God with a voice of triumph, it's going to be something. Because when Jesus returns, the Bible says he's going to come with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. In his return, he's going to destroy the Antichrist with such power and authority when he returns. Is he going to return with what? A shout. Hallelujah. Get ready for the alarm, because one of these days you're going to hear that sound when you do. Verse 27 says this. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. His fame was noised throughout all the country. Thank you, Father. Any good? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I'm going to read this to you and see what God says here. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Now, in that day is significant. What day is he talking about? In the day of trouble. In the days of trouble, he said, what is he going to do? He said, I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. Verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So when he returns, that's when he's going to separate the wheat from the tare. Now, the wheat and the tare can grow together. The wheat and the tare can grow. But when he returns, he said, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. And that's what will happen. Now, did that happen here with Joshua? Did they have to discern between the righteous and the wicked when they went in? They shouted, the walls come down, and they went in and discerned between the righteous and the wicked. Who was the righteous? Rahab with the scarlet line was the righteous. She was saved. Her and her family was saved. How many want your family saved? Put the scarlet line out for them. Get them in the same room and declare it and say, God, I thank you that they're safe and protected. You live righteous and watch God. And so we see that in the book of Malachi, Numbers chapter 29, verse number 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, what is that? Tishri. Tishri is talking about that the day of Yom Teruah, on the seventh month, the first day of the month. Ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. That's what it's set apart for. So when you're looking at Numbers 29, he's speaking of the Yom Teruah that's coming. Now we're going to celebrate that here soon. It's coming up in September. So I know we think about, when I say the seventh month, the first day of the month, folks think about July the 1st. Right? Seventh month, first day of the month, July 1st. Well, that's not the calendar God uses. That's the Gregorian calendar from Pope Gregory. We don't use that calendar when it comes to the scripture. So when you read, you got to be careful that you're not reading the Bible with a Western mind, because you're going to be off track in your prophecy and your understanding. So when are we supposed to celebrate this? So if we bring it back and fix our calendar, we're going to be in September. That's why there's all sorts of stir about this September coming. What the church needs to be stirred up about is we got to get ready for the blowing of the trumpets, the shofar, getting ready for this September. So we're going to be here having church and celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. That's going to be Yom Teruah, and that's going to be coming up here soon. So keep that in mind as we're looking at these scriptures. So Teruah is acclamation of joy or battle cry, especially klangor or trumpets. So it, blowing it along or rejoicing or shouting. So there you go. So I'm not making this stuff up. Maybe you've never been in a church where folks shouted like you just seen. Well, we ought to have more shouting. I know we want solemn assemblies. That's what we want, solemn assemblies. Well, did he call a solemn assembly here? There's times he does call a solemn assembly, but this one he didn't. He said, let it be a holy convocation, a day of blowing trumpets, a day of shouting. That's what that day needs to be. So there are times for all those things, but this day that we're preparing for is a battle cry. When he sounds the Yom Teruah, when that sound is an alarm, get ready, wake up, get prepared, we're going to battle. How many ready for that? Well, if you're not prepared for it and you hear it, you won't even know what to do. We need to know. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 8. For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare themselves for the battle? So we know, and this is what Paul's saying to the church at Corinth. He says, listen, when the trumpet blows, and it's blowing something that we've heard before, we need to prepare for the battle. And this is important scripture. In Psalms 47, verse number 5, says this, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Notice that. Is he going up with a shout? Yes, that's what he says, and the sound of a trumpet. So listen, this is biblical stuff. I know sometimes folks get uneasy. Maybe you're here today and you got uneasy. Well, this is what we don't teach the Bible enough. We think we ought to, if we sit there and we keep our head about halfway up, God somehow is real impressed. He's not impressed with that. He's impressed with those who shout the victory because you got over some stuff. The blind eyes open up, and that man, he said, you think he said, well, I'm going to just keep my head about halfway down and just scoot on through the city. Man couldn't see all his life. He went around shaking people and said, I see you. I can see you. Glory to God, I can see you. The man that was crippled, he come running around, shouting and jumping around. And they said, hey, what's that? All that carrying on. He's not going to go around. He said, listen, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I'm going to go ahead and give my best shot. I was crippled, and now I can walk. So don't tell me to shut up. You have no idea what it being crippled means. I couldn't walk. But and then the blind man says, listen, I was blind, but now I see. You see the difference? So you can't tell those folks to shut up. They're going at it. And that's what needs to happen in the church. Something happens in your life, you ought to give God some praise for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? A shout. Is that good enough for you there? I wasn't kidding when I said he was coming with a shout. In Thessalonians, he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What's the first thing he's going to do when he descends from heaven? Shout. Now, I wonder who in here is going to recognize that shout. You're going to know, there he is. Glory, there he is. Well, guess what the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to be going wide open, and there'll be never a time ever on the planet was there such hardship. And he's going to be just completely against God and his people. And when that shout comes, all the saints are going to go. And the Antichrist is going to not want to look. But he ain't going to have no choice. Every eye will see him. Every eye. He'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet or the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Let me tell you, that's not just any shout. It's not just any old shout. Now, we shouted. Let me tell you, when that shout went out a while ago, we hit a harmony that was pretty amazing. Did y'all feel that? We hit a harmonic that was, the devil that was in that range, he jumped out. He went, I ain't getting in that range no more. Because it's all about harmonics. It's about balance. And he got out of that. I don't know about you, but something moved. And we'll go hit it again. We'll get another line. And we'll keep gaining. You understand? Because that harmonic, you can't come in this realm. This is a realm for God's people, those who shout with the voice of triumph. You got to get out of that section. Because anytime you don't get that hit that harm, that's occupied by a principality, a power, a spiritual wickedness, or a ruler of darkness. Well, I can tell you for a fact, a while ago, when we hit that note, that power of darkness had to move out of that range because he can't occupy that no more. We occupy that range. And that's what you have to understand how these things work. Every demonic influence that was living in Jericho. And they were demonic because they had giants there who were the children of fallen angels and human women. And they had to step out because they hit the note and took back that territory. How many know we got to take back some territory? Well, let me tell you, there's never going to be a note that can ever be hit like the one Jesus is going to hit when he comes and shouts with the voice of an archangel. He's going to shout with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. So you say, why are we shouting with the trumpet? There it is. Shout and trumpet. I'm not making stuff up. I'm not trying to just get folks excited. I'm just showing you what the Word says. Boy, to get practiced up. So what we're going to be doing next year at this time, says the Lord Terry, we're going to be shouting with the trumpet. You come on Yom Teruah, you thought you heard shout, we're about to hit another note. We're going to pack this place out with all. You know how many folks are going to get saved between now and then? We're going to hit another note, take more darkness down. Do you understand that? And why are we doing that? Because it's what the Lord said we should be doing. We ought to be preparing ourselves. So let me tell you what type of shout this is. The dead raised. Jesus is going to shout, and the voice he's going to give is going to be so powerful. The dead that have been dead for a long time, they're going to wake up. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear the Yom Teruah? The dead shall raise. That's powerful. And that's what God wants for all of us. How many thank God for his word? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14 says, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. This is not just going to be any old kind of meeting. The Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. And that's powerful. These are all prophetic. Every one of these verses I'm reading you are the prophetic things of God. Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. So how many know that we should be knowing the joyful sound? We got to get accustomed to it. Get used to doing it. So let's look at some other things, some idioms for the Yom Teruah. And these are some things that it's called. One of them is the time of Jacob's trouble. And I'm going to see how many we can do on this. Just maybe get a couple of them in, and then we're going to pray here. I'll do just a couple of them for you, and then we'll catch up right here next Sunday. Jeremiah 30, verse 6 and 7 says this. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hand on his loins as a woman in travail, and all his faces were turned unto paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So the time of Jacob's trouble, he shall be saved out of it. Now, that's where I'm going to start next week, but I want to talk about this saved out of it. What does that sound like? If he's saved out of it from Jacob's trouble, what does that sound like? That he won't be here, right? Well, I'm reading it from the King James, and I'm going to read it. He shall be saved from it. From it. He shall be saved from it. And that's what it should be, because you're going to be in it, and he's going to save you from it, be with you in it, not out of it. And that's where the wrong people go and start going and kind of create. Then you got to create all sorts of scripture. You got to create all sorts of doctrine. And if you just leave the word of God, say what it says, you don't have to create anything. It's just what it is. So we're going to have some situations that we're going to face in life, all of us. Every one of us are going to face some things. And we're going to go through these situations, and things are not going to get where you say, well, I don't have to worry about anything. You need to be concerned about the situations that we're about to come up on this earth. But one thing's for certain, God's going to be faithful, and he's going to save us from them. And he's going to save us in the midst of it. Amidst of all the things that we'll go through. So you want to be here next Sunday. I'm going to continue, and I'm going to talk about the time of Jacob's troubles. And there's a lot of verses of scripture I'm going to give you all throughout this, and it's going to deal with the end times. It's going to deal with time scripture that people's maybe misunderstood for a long time. But this is where we're going to start, the time of Jacob's trouble. And this is a Yom Teruah. This is what it is. It's an idiom. The idiom is talking about the Yom Teruah, and there are many of them, many of the idioms that we'll cover, and it's going to take quite some time to cover all these verses. But I want to tell you something. I believe that you'll be prepared and you'll be ready to receive these things from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I appreciate all of you for being here today. I thank God for his goodness. There's so many things that the Lord has spoken today that's very significant as far as his word. But one thing's for certain, when we played the trumpets and folks shouted, that was your decision to make the decision that you want to make a move with God. God will hear it. He heard you shout. He believes it. If you're here today and you shouted and had victory over the situation, circumstance, whatever it was that you had in front of you, you need to let somebody know. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You have to confess that he is the Son of God. He came. He came in the flesh. He dwelt here and accomplished everything that was needing to be accomplished. He went back. Now we have to understand this. Very important. That when he returns to the Father, he didn't just go sit there. He went into the most holies of holies and he presented the sacrifice that was made for all of us. Now that sacrifice is only going to come to its fullness at the Yom Kippur. Not until. It's a point of time. Because there are many people still hearing the gospel. Many people still deciding. How many's heard the gospel a while back? Maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you heard the gospel. But as you're going in life, you might be deciding or getting closer or getting farther away. So when he goes in at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that's going to be the final day of atonement. Your sins are going to be covered right then and there. And then only then can we see him the way we need to see him. Because then we'll be covered completely. So I want to tell you that. That's very important. That's why some folks say, well, it's already happened for them. It's never happened. Yom Kippur has never been fulfilled. And we're going to look at that. So these are some important principles that you have to understand. Right now is our decision time. And once you decide while you're alive, God will hold it in account for you, even when you die. Even when you die, it'll be in your account. But when the voice of the trumpet and the shout comes, the dead is going to raise. And there's going to be something significant about that. Because the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement comes for you and I. And you want to be here for that lesson. It's going to be absolutely incredible when we understand how these trumpets are going to happen. So if today, if you put it in front of you and you shout it, and you know the Lord has given you victory, we're happy for you. We're excited for you. You got to continue on that path. You got to keep going down. It's a straight gate, a narrow way that leads to life. So continue on it. You stay firm to it, true to it. If you never did anything today, you can. You can make that decision. God wants you to, but you have to make it by your own admission. Nobody can lead you and say, here, do this and do that. You got to do it by your own admission. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe it in your own heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. We thank him for it. Amen? So how many thankful for Jesus? Well, let's give him thanks today.